Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Hey, church. Great to have you here. So thankful that you tuned in right now online. Man, we're going to have a great time in church today. We're already having a great time. Make sure you say hi to the host in the comments section and get your amen on. Get your Bibles out. It's awesome. We're going to get into the Word of God here today. So turn in your Bible to Isaiah. Isaiah is a super exciting book. It's a prophetic book right in the middle of the Bible. And it's actually, commentators would say that it's kind of like a Bible within a Bible. It has the same number of chapters in Isaiah as there is in the Bible. And it's just really powerful scriptures come from this. Isaiah 53, all about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we're going to look at chapter 33 today, and what I want to talk about is how worship is the most powerful key that you and I have right now. Worship is a key. It's this thing that causes us to access heaven. It's a thing like no other things. Worship is so incredible, and I believe that through COVID, that it is one of the things that the enemy has tried to steal from our lives. I mean, I don't know about you, but I just miss my spirit, my soul, everything inside of me just misses those songs at the start of Sunday where I'm standing with other believers and other people of faith with arms raised high and, you know, singing out as loud as I can, always out of tune, but always so in love with Jesus. And just those moments of feeling the presence of faith and the presence of God. And the Bible says is that we shouldn't neglect meeting together. And this is one of the reasons, is because there is nothing that can replace corporate worship, believers coming together. And we're not neglecting meeting together right now. We don't have a choice to meet together right now. And so the fight for worship is difficult, and we can get disillusioned and frustrated and confused, and our spirit can feel dry and empty. And I want to suggest to you that it's probably because we're long overdue for some amazing, life-giving, hope-filled worship. It's incredible. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, in Ephesians, Paul is describing the church, and in the beginning of Ephesians, he says the church comes together of all peoples of the Jews and Gentiles and every tribe and every tongue coming together in unification under one God, one faith, one baptism, coming together in the house of God. And what do the people do? Is they give their lives to Jesus, and as they give their lives to Jesus, they're filled, and the Bible says that the evidence of a Christian is being filled with the Holy Spirit. C3 Church all around the world is what we preach and teach about, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. The manifest presence of God is so incredible and so powerful and so needed right now. And I believe this word today is going to be water to your thirsty spirit, to your soul. And the Bible says in Ephesians 5 here, it says, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, from that place, here's what will happen. And your hearts will overflow with a joyful song to the Lord Jehovah. And keep speaking to other with words of scripture. And we've been doing a great job of that all the way through COVID. I mean, you can check out preaching from churches all over the world. But what if preaching was the only thing that mattered in church? Why do we so crave worship right now? And I think I believe that, you know, the days where people would show up late and kind of not really care if take the time getting out of the car or getting out of the subway to get into church. You can just, it's just the songs. It's just those 3 to 4 songs at the beginning. I think those days are done. Why? Because this season has taught us, man, we need this. Our soul thirsts for it. Our spirit thirsts for it. And we're going to be front footed when we come back together in church. Man, I can see the days where we're just eager, hungry, coming in to experience what it's describing here in Ephesians 5. It says, keep speaking speaking to each other with words of scripture and sing the Psalms with praises and spontaneous songs given by the Spirit. See, when you and I meet Christ, we meet all of hope and all of love, and it fills us with the Holy Spirit. So when we're in the presence of God and when we're filled with the Spirit of God, what comes out of us is song, is worship. Granted, doesn't sound as good coming out of my heart as it would coming out of someone like Amanda Gurnett's heart or Maddie Simmons or someone like that. But still, I think there's some sort of filter that when I sing, and there's like an auto tune in heaven, and then God hears my song. That's the faith that I believe anyway. So here we go, it's the power of worship, and we need to focus on this and talk to this, and Isaiah 33 is we're going to dive into this, and we're going to see that this is going to help us right now. It's encouraging, and worship strengthens us, and we need worship to strengthen us. Let me just read what it says in Isaiah 33, verse 5. It says, "The Lord is exalted." This is what worship does. "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with his justice." Everybody say justice. "And righteousness." Say righteousness. "He will be the sure foundation." Everybody say sure. "The sure foundation for your times." I don't know about you, but some of us, man, I need a sure foundation right now in God. He's the rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge, of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. "The fear of the Lord is the," somebody say it, "key to this treasure." The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. How good is this little passage of scripture in Isaiah 33? And so, you know, I remember any time that we go through pain, heartache, any time that we go through something that seems to like flip us upside down. For me, 7 years ago, my mother had she was 53, had a cerebral aneurysm at the time, and all of a sudden, without any warning, went into a coma, and then a little over 2 weeks after that, passed and went to be with Jesus in heaven. And this was 7 years ago. We were in the first year of starting C3 Toronto. It was just days. This was in December, and Noah, our firstborn son, was born on Christmas Day that December. It was days before our child was born. And while we were experiencing great joy with the birth of Noah, we were also experiencing immense grief and confusion with the passing of my mum. It's not something that we knew was coming. It's not something I didn't get to say goodbye to her. And it was very disruptive in life. And this season has been very disruptive for many people. And I want to tell you that the only thing that got me through that time was the Word of God and worship. The power of worship, there is nothing like it. It is the key that you and I need right now. Worship ushers the presence of God, and in God's presence, we have every solution. It is a key. Somebody say key. So, number one, just going through Isaiah chapter 33. Number one, worship reminds us, going to just talk about a few things that worship does. Worship reminds us that Christ is on the throne. It says this, "The Lord is exalted and he dwells on high." The Lord is exalted and he dwells on high. So there's this place with weeping and gnashing of teeth in Toronto. A lot of people call it the path. Okay, what it is, it's 30 kilometers of confusion underneath the city of Toronto. Has anyone ever been there? Anyone heard of it? There are people, they've just gone down there to never be seen again. No, I'm joking. No, but I remember when I first moved to Toronto, and I was going down, I was meeting someone at for lunch down at First Canadian Place, and walked down into the path, my watch started spinning backwards, like time was just lost, I didn't even know, like 16 days later I surfaced again. No, I went, it's confusing because there is no high place. You're down underground, and they've got this color-coded direction that somebody needs to reinvent, because It didn't help me at all. None of the maps helped. And I just remember being so late for lunch. And the later I got, the more panic I felt. And so what I needed to do, so I just found a staircase, left, went back up, worked out where I was, and then was able to get to my destination. I know, silly illustration, but the point is that God is at a higher ground than you and I. And when we worship, it gives us a perspective shift. It shifts our perspective. It changes our... So worship reminds us that Christ is on the throne. And so... The Bible says in Isaiah 40:31 that when we are weak and when our strength utterly fails us, that as you and I wait on the Lord, we're renewed in strength and we mount up on wings as eagles. So we soar up to a place of perspective, and that's what worship does for us. Worship transcends us from the current panic of our current moment. It takes us from our current disillusionment, anxiety, fear, and pain, and it lifts us and mounts us up as we wait, as worship is waiting on God, to a higher place, to a higher perspective. It's a place of peace. It's a place of strength. The Bible says that it renews our strength. And see, He is on the throne, and it also tells us that God is in control. Kings in Bible days would always, the king would have the advantage in battle of having the high ground. And what worship tells us, that Christ is exalted for He dwells on high. There is no higher ground than the throne of God in heaven. Nothing. Victory is His. He has defeated the enemy. He has defeated every foe, every accuser, every enemy over your life. That God has won. And what worship does is when we worship and we feel like that we have been, someone has betrayed against us, we feel the enemy is attacking us, we feel that all of life is against us, what worship will remind us is that we have victory in Jesus' name. How awesome is that? So the battle is the Lord's. And so worship causes us to release control and trust God, which is awesome. So the Lord is exalted, He dwells on high. And then number two, worship reminds us that Christ is with us and for us. Christ is with us and for us. So He is exalted on high. He fills Zion with His justice and righteousness. He fills Zion with His justice and righteousness. And so this is comforting to us. Worship, when we worship, God fills us. When we worship, we get filled with comfort and we get filled with security. In verse 2, it actually says that He is our, in verse 2 of Isaiah 33, it says that He is our strength every morning and our salvation in times of distress. And right, and why justice and righteousness? Because Jesus is the embodiment of justice and righteousness. Righteousness because Jesus is the embodiment of everything good. He is good. Goodness is Him. And justice because we are one united family, united under Him as the head. And any right now, like all right now, we can rely on Him as a sure foundation, knowing that that any sense of racism, injustice, anything, that what is going on right now and this awareness, this is a Jesus fight. Jesus is the embodiment of righteousness and justice. And so knowing that this is God's fight ultimately will bring comfort. And the betrayal of injustice towards any people on the world, towards our black brothers and sisters, is not, the Bible is saying, it's not just an assault against those individuals or those people or people groups. It is a direct assault against who Jesus is. And Jesus says, and He says in Isaiah 33, He says, this will come to an end. And so Jesus fills the world with justice and righteousness, saying, the battle is mine, this is coming to an end. And I feel that right now. I hope that you feel that right now. And as we worship, we are filled with Jesus Christ. We are filled with his righteousness and his justice. We get clothed with who he is. So the battle is the Lord's, but we partner with God and take on who he is and what he stands for. And we do this through faith. The Bible says in Ephesians is that the way we access righteousness is we do it by clothing ourselves with Jesus. This is a faith transaction. It is impossible for you and I to truly live righteous without Jesus. So he died on the cross, he stood in our place, and by believing in him that we become the righteousness in Christ, and we become the justice, that we take on this mission, this mode, and we take on who Jesus is by faith. That is through the power of God, is through the belief in Jesus Christ and worship. Worship is the direct act of being clothed, of getting clothed. So every time we worship, we put on what is of Christ and we take off what isn't of Christ. Every time we come into worship, it is the direct act of being clothed with Jesus. So worship helps us understand that God is in control. Number one, worship reminds us that Christ is on the throne. Number two, worship reminds us and comforts us that Christ is with us and for us. And I believe that somebody needed to hear that today. Number three, worship gives us wisdom and knowledge. Check this out. Okay, so let's keep reading. Isaiah 33 and verse 6. He will be a sure foundation for your times. Somebody needs to hear that right now, that Jesus is a sure foundation. We're reminded of that in worship. And a rich store, or it means the strength of salvation, the strength of wisdom, and the strength of knowledge. This rich store is strength. And wisdom and knowledge will strengthen your life. Godly wisdom and godly knowledge. Proverbs 2 verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." This is direction in our lives. When we ask, you know, that old kind of joke of people don't, like men don't typically ask for directions, but when you read instructions, when you get direction, when you read the Word of God, it gives us reassurance. It gives us direction. And worship is the access point to that. I remember feeling no vision and no direction, feeling stuck, not knowing what was the right way forward, when we had a last minute announcement in the first 12 months of C3 Toronto's journey where we didn't have a venue to meet in. We were negotiating things and working things out for quite some time. Honestly, if I was to be honest with you, doing things in our own human strength. And then all of a sudden it all came to an end. And there was no sense of vision, no sense of direction, no sense of moving forward. And then when we're in that mode, and when we don't know what to do, when we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, when we don't know how to get through tomorrow, what we have is worship. And on this particular Sunday, I was going to another church on Sunday morning that was just starting that day. We were a church plant and we wanted to go and support a fellow church plant in the city. So I'm just there and they were inviting me to be there to just sit and to just join in with the service and show that the body of Christ is unified. And so I'm there, I'm sitting on the front row, but I want to tell you, I can't think of many Sundays where I haven't worshiped harder than I have ever worshipped. This church in particular, their methodology was a little bit more conservative than ours, but I just needed Jesus bad. I needed vision, I needed direction, and I needed wisdom, and I needed knowledge. And so I just threw my hands up, and I didn't know if it was right to do in the moment, but man, when you're in a place where you don't know what is next, where you don't know how to navigate life, where you don't know how to get unstuck, sometimes all you're left with is to just get a little abandoned and just lift your hands up and just say, "God, I surrender. God, I worship you. Give me your wisdom." The Bible says that he gives wisdom and he gives it without reproach. And I remember coming out of that place with a reassurance. Not every answer, not every T was crossed, not every I was dotted, but I remember having a reassurance that God was in control, that he was on the throne, and a sense of direction as to what was to come next. So I don't know if you feel stuck right now, but the Bible says is that worship has the power to set us free, that true worship sets us free. free. If you feel bound up and stuck in something right now, worship. Worship is the key. Turn that key and be free, be released in the name of Jesus. Paul and Silas were stuck. I don't think they were in that prison and just all of a sudden felt, man, I just really feel like worship right now. No, no, no. They put on worship, and by doing that, they were putting on freedom, and they got released from a place where they were stuck. They got free from prison. Worship sets us free. Worship and wisdom are synonyms. It's wise to worship. Worship is wisdom. The wisest thing you and I can do is worship and exalt God. In and of itself, the direction of wisdom, God might say, worship me. So through worship, wisdom is gained, and worship is wisdom. It's kind of like breathing. If worship is the exhale, we receive wisdom as we inhale. So as we exhale to God worship, we inhale the wisdom that he gives. And every single time that we come to God in worship on Sunday or personal worship, you're exhaling glory to God. You're praising God with the joy that's in your heart, with the place from hope and salvation, and you're singing your song toward God. And then what you receive, what your spirit receives is this sure foundation in times, this rich store of wisdom and knowledge. How good is that? How awesome is that? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 in the Passion Translation. This is awesome. This is going to encourage you. Check this out. Colossians 3, 16 says, let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. I'm just showing you how worship and wisdom work hand in hand. Flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with what? Psalms and festive praises. And with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. So sing to God, the Bible says, with all your heart. See, this is the most wise act that you and I can do is worship. It says, instruct one another with psalms and festive praises, with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Holy Spirit. When we go to God in worship, when we go to God in the presence of God, he drops in our spirit some spontaneous posture, a spontaneous foundation of strength where you, when we go to worship and then we live out of that place, you thrive, you soar out of that place. Your feet are planted on this sure foundation, and without it, it's like every wave will crash that house and it will be like a house built on the sand. But when we worship God and we come into his presence, and I feel God's presence right now through this message for you right now, then, and this is bearing a resonation in your spirit that there is a witness inside you right now that says, yes, yes, as I worship and I come out of that place, I come out of a place of strength. And the launching pad of worship, when we go to worship in God and when we worship God and we launch our lives out of that place, it's like that we're planted by rivers of living water and we bear fruit in and out of season. When you prioritize the presence of God, when you and I prioritize worship in our life, it's the result of that. Abiding in Jesus is that we have lives filled with much fruit, much fruit. And that is why worship is the wisest thing that you and I can do. Amen. And out of that, we sing to God with all our hearts, and our hearts are filled with hope. Awesome. So worship gives us wisdom and knowledge. Worship, we know that God is on the throne, and worship reassures us that Christ is with us and he's for us. The last point here is worship is a key. Worship is a key. It says it fills us with salvation in verse 6 of wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. People who don't fear God are people who don't worship God. People who don't fear God do not have the key. And To not worship the Lord is to not have the key to this treasure. What treasure, you say, Pastor Sam? The treasure of peace. This is all unpacked from Isaiah 33. The treasure of peace, the treasure of perspective, the rich treasure of his strength, the treasure of wisdom, the treasure of his knowledge, the treasure of justice and righteousness in Christ Jesus, the treasure himself, Jesus Christ. Worship is the key. The fearing God, to not fear God is to not worship. And to not worship is to not have Jesus himself. And Jesus, the Bible says, is the treasure. He's available to you and I. Fearing God is not being afraid of God. Fearing God is knowing who God is and wanting to surrender your life to God. Not just surrender your life to the idea of having a relationship with God, but surrendering our life to God and having relationship with him and surrendering our lives to do everything he calls us to do. That fearing God is aligning our lives to him, not trying to fit him into who we already are. And this is what it means to be a spirit-filled believer. This is what it means to worship God, to follow God. And it is a key that will unlock so much treasure in our lives. But specifically, the greatest treasure of all is the treasure of Jesus Christ. And here at the end of this message, I want to tell you to direct your worship to God. I want to invite you and encourage you to invite Jesus into your heart, to make him the center of your life, to make sure that your life is surrendered and given to Christ Jesus. And as you worship him and exalt him, all these good things, all these good, everything, I mean, the fullness of life, the Bible says, Jesus comes to give us this full life. Jesus comes to give us life and give it to the full. And this is for you. So if you're watching this and God knows you, he loves you, he created you, and he wants relationship with you. And if you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart, I want to invite you to do that right now. It is the greatest, most significant decision of worship that you can ever do, is to live your life for Jesus. So if you've never made that decision, right now we're going to pray a prayer, and I pray that you would pray this with us. Or if maybe you've once made this decision, but for any number of reasons, you've walked away from God, now recommit your life to God. Reestablish your faith in Jesus by praying this prayer. And if that's you, the hosts are putting up in the comment section on the side here a little button that says, I want to raise my hand for Jesus. Just click that button and join with me in this prayer. Say this as we commit our lives to Jesus. Say, Dear God, I thank you that you died on a cross for me. Forgive me. Make me new. Help me follow you as my Savior and my Lord from this moment on. In your name, Jesus, I praise you. I worship you. And I sing this song to you that I am saved. In your name, amen. Amen.